¿Cómo estás? ¿Todo bien?
We're glad to be joining the family of Community Radio, and we're really proud that so many Quebuistas have come down to be a part of the birth of a new member of the Community Radio family.
I've learned so much already. I'm like, whoa!
It is a bit like Radio Geek Summer Camp.
Ooh, everybody wants to solder.
People's voices are going to be like coming like through those cables into the mixer to go out to the world. It's a very important job.
Woohoo, I made a female.
What we really need is to create these forms of media where people are actually telling their own stories.
Who doesn't want to be on the radio?
Who doesn't?
Or listen.
You're tuned to DIY Portland, KBOO's monthly show about revolutionary do-it-yourself projects. I'm your host, Julie Sabatier, and this month the show is in Woodburn, Oregon, where we're listening in on a radio barn raising. Workers, families, and community organizers gathered in Woodburn in August to help build a low-power radio station for Pineros y Campesinos Unidos de Noroeste, or PECUN, the Tree Pickers and Farm Workers Union. PECUN's mission is to offer support and fight for the rights of the employees at the Willamette Valley's many farms.
Yeah, well, you know, the radio station is going to be a tool to organize farm workers.
That's Ramon Ramirez, president of PECUN.
You know, it's a way that that we could directly inform farm workers about, you know, a number of issues, but also use it to mobilize and build political consciousness. Radio, we have found, is really important in communication during the marches for immigrant rights, and where millions and millions of people were mobilized. You know, the radio was used to mobilize them. So we understand the power.
He emphasized that the radio station will be just one piece of a larger, comprehensive vision of community organizing.
We're doing labor organizing in the fields. We got a worker center. We got housing. We're organizing women. We're organizing youth. We have two youth organizations. We helped found the statewide Immigrant Rights Coalition in CAUSA. We have another coalition that's working on education reform, you know, No Child Left Behind, called the Salem Kaiser Coalition for Equality. So we're building a movement here. We have about 9 or 10 organizations where we come together on a monthly basis. We call it Capaces, where we're building consistently leadership and addressing issues so that, you know, so that we're training ourselves to become stronger organizers. We've talked about issues like sexism, around domestic violence, around issues challenging like Latinos, youth, education issues, things like that. And trying to instill people principles of our movement so that they become stronger leaders and set the example for the rest of the community. You know, this is what the labor union used to do back in the 20s and 30s, right? They developed a community labor union where they integrated, like, community as much as they could, because when the big companies, like in Chicago and Philadelphia, wanted to, like, break the strikes, the workers already had their, you know, all the immigrants organized, the Italians, the Germans, the Slavs, the Polish, into community unions, right? So we're just taking a chapter of the labor movement. Mm-hmm. And reapplying it.
PECUN has enlisted the help of the Prometheus Radio Project in getting their low-power station off the ground. The Prometheus Radio Project is a Philadelphia-based organization which was started by radio pirates to lobby for changes in the law that would allow for greater access to low-power licenses. Now they travel the country and the world, galvanizing communities via their radio barn raisings. Here's one of Prometheus's founders, Petri Dish.
Hi.
And
always a pleasure to be on KBOO. What I do is media reform work. And, you know, there's a part of me that would really rather be
I don't know, like some kind of a brick throwing anarchist or something, you know, but I actually feel like I serve the movement against capital and against you know, the kind of government that we have much better by changing by making these like piddly little reforms in the media, the governance of media, that allows broader participation. Because I think that whereas governments and corporations in old times ruled through brute force, now more and more elites rule through manipulation of media, manipulation of public opinion. And so so long as that is left undisturbed, it doesn't matter how many bricks you throw through how many bank windows, it's not going to change you know, the social relationships and the way people think about things, because they just don't have other ways of thinking about things.
I asked Peter Dish to tell me about his unusual name.
When I started a pirate station with a couple of my friends, we all took code names because we just didn't want to get caught. I called myself Pete Tree Dish. My girlfriend was Millie Watt. You know, another guy was Noah Vale. My favorite was this one, Melissa. She was Bertha Venus. And so we all had a name like that. And I just decided to keep mine because, well, I mean, I guess in some ways because what we started with the pirate station hasn't really been finished. We wanted to build community radio station that could serve our community, and you know, Clear Channel could own 1,200 radio stations and we couldn't own any. And so I don't know, even though you could probably figure out my real name pretty easily, I decided to keep the pirate name, and just to sort of symbolize that the struggle isn't over.
Putting together a radio station in the course of a weekend may not be the most efficient thing in the world, but according to Petrie and the rest of the Prometheus folks, it's a great way to mobilize and inspire people to be part of the media movement. Sakura Saunders is on the Prometheus Board of Directors.
We are teaching you all not only how to make how to make cables, how to solder their own, you know, 1/8 inch to XLR cables and things like that, but we're doing screen printing workshops, and it's all about making technology less intimidating and just demystifying it for people. It's just amazing what people are capable of if they just try and aren't afraid of it.
In Picoon's backyard, people worked around the clock to build and wire the studio inside an old house.
Okay, so now what we're going to do is, see the little screw? Tighten that down.
That's Megan Sheehan, a Prometheus volunteer, teaching Shizuko Hashimura how to solder cable. Here's Shizuko.
We're so taught that experts know how to do stuff, and like normal people like don't know what to do with wires. That's why stuff's so expensive, because folks have like a monopoly on knowledge or something like that. So if you figure out how to do it for yourself, you find that like life is much cheaper. And it's very sexy too, because I'm holding a very hot thing and metal and danger and very cool. To me anyway.
Most of this work is done by volunteers like Larry Kleinman.
This is my place in life as I know it. I work here at Pekun.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And I've been the person who's been coordinating the construction project. So before, even way back in the beginning of this. And since I know a lot of the details and I know a lot of the tools and supplies that we have, I've been sort of the dispatcher here at the radio headquarters.
Meanwhile, at the nearby community college, people attended workshops on everything from FCC laws to digital editing to fundraising and media reform. Prometheus volunteer Kate Coyer explains the idea behind the classroom experience.
To me, one of the things that's really great about the barn raising is that kind of each one teach one philosophy. So when I think about DIY, I kind of think about that, which is about collaboration and about sharing skills and kind of breaking down that barrier between expert and learner. You're not going to have proficient digital editors that are making, you know, complex 3-minute news stories, you know, after an hour and a half of training. But that's okay, because you're getting people familiar with it. You're breaking down that barrier, that first barrier to entry, because they're in it with a bunch of other people that are just as new to it as they are. And so getting over that hurdle and getting over that comfort level and building the confidence that, yeah, I can do this. This isn't that hard. Look at all these other people. They're doing it, you know, and having that support. And then they can go home and practice. They can come back to another training that the station will do that maybe KBOO will do with them. And, you know, it's a continuing process. But you got to make a start, and I think it's a great way to start.
Some people came to the workshops with a wealth of radio knowledge and experience, while others were making their very first recordings.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
If you're doing a two-way interview, what I call a stand-up, you have the mic a very few inches from your voice, and then it'll be like that.
Right. Okay. You want to make sure that you don't hold it down here, because then, see, you hear that in your headphones?
So if I were to do it, I'd hold it, like, right here.
Mm-hmm. And then hold it like that. Yeah.
Cool. Wow.
Communication at the event was primarily in Spanish. Petri Dish made an effort to practice his Spanish language skills as much as possible.
With Prometheus is we're never quite content to do the same thing twice, and we've had 10 incredible events where we build a radio station in the course of the weekend, and each time we try to make it a little more challenging somehow by trying to do more things. We added to do a radio play was one thing that we added, and one time we added to do a wireless network at the same time. And with this one, we're trying to do it bilingually, even though mi español es patético, no es en hecho suficiente para hablar con todas las personas. I've been practicing for a while to try to be ready to pull this off, and it's been very motivating for me. One thing I learned when I went outside the United States, I went to the AMAR conference, the World Association of Community Broadcasters, and it was really kind of my first time out of the United States, and there were a lot of people there. Almost everyone spoke 3 or 4 languages. And I would walk into a room and everyone would be like, oh, there's the American. I guess we all have to speak English now. But then I would see other people, and they would just go from French to Spanish to Italian to Arabic, and like just effortlessly, and have these conversations in like many languages, and people knew them all. And I just really, I noticed that default to English. And what I really didn't want to have happen at this conference was for us to throw this barn raising event for a farm workers organization. But then as a result of all the visitors, we end up in the default to English, just because one person in the room only speaks English, and so everybody tries, even if the farm workers are not so comfortable in it.
Workshops were mostly conducted in Spanish with an English translator. Live translation of speeches and announcements were provided for us gringos by a very small radio transmitter broadcasting on site.
It was very important to me to build the translation system, because I felt that for a few hundred dollars, we really could create a system where we could actually organize across language with a lot of effort and a lot of hard work. But I knew it would take dozens of translators to pull this off, and I had no idea where any of them would come from. But I had the faith that if enough people heard that a bunch of volunteers were trying to build a radio station with a bunch of campesinos, and we really needed the help with translation to make everyone like really come together and be able to communicate effectively, I just, you know, took sort of the leap of faith in our movement and our in people's hearts that they would do it. And I'm glad I did. I was certainly nervous about the system, because, you know, it'd be so easy to, you know, the little radios are a little pokey, and the the transmitters are kind of cheap and a little hard to control or whatever, but I am very excited that it seemed to work pretty well, and I think with a few improvements, at this point we could make it. You know, they sell translation systems for many thousands of dollars, and they're beyond the reach of most organizations. But I think that we could make a translation system that, for a quarter of that, that would really, you know, serve well enough for social justice groups. So that was an important experiment for us here.
When it's all up and running, the station will broadcast in multiple languages. Adrián Valladares Carranza, KPCN's startup coordinator, explains.
And also another special thing about the program that we're going to have at KPCN is the indigenous section of it, which I think is unique because there is a lot of there's a long story about how people from Oaxaca come here and they speak Purépecha or Zapoteco Alto y Bajo, and when they come in here and speak on that language, sometimes they don't even speak Spanish or English. So they have two languages more to, you know, bridge to actually do something. And so it has become a challenge for us to really reach to them and tell them what's going on, what kind of rights they have. So we will have a unique section of, you know, indigenous programming to educate them, to give them the right information, the right places to go and get benefits. So that's one of the many things that we can do with the unique section of KPCN and the programming for indigenous people from Mexico.
Adrián says he's also looking forward to diverse musical programming on KPCN.
One of the things about the Mexican culture here in the United States is that it has been overburned. You know, the Mexican want to hear banda, corridos, and things like that. Like La Pantera, KWBY, here in Woodburn, they always play the music, and people are tired of that, you know, to always have that. No more radio stations where they can hear salsa, rock, classic music, polk, boleros, which is classical music in Mexico that, you know, we hardly hear over here.
The station will have a small staff of two, a tech person and someone to coordinate volunteers and programming. Adrián will be around to help them until December. Picun hired him in June to be the liaison between the union, Prometheus, and KBU.
I didn't know it was going to be this much work, but you know what? I love Picun. I love the movement. I love the way we're doing things. I decided to put a lot more love than to think about this as work. So it became, you know, it became more into I'm doing this because I really want to, not because I'm getting paid. I'm really proud to be part of this. It's just extremely proud just to be with these people and learn from Prometheus Radio Project, learning from Petri, Hannah, Andy, all of them. Oh my goodness, it's such a, it was a blessing, and I think I'm really proud to work with them and to all of you. I mean, actually, all of you that are here is just such a great feeling. And
among the many things Prometheus is looking to change is the nature of work and people's attitudes toward doing work. Here's Petri Dish again.
So many people have such crummy jobs in this world, and they spend all their time, you know, just trying to serve the bosses who serve the stockholders and the returns, and so they do things in ways that are dumb or they have no control over. And we kind of have this sort of strange cultural idea about leisure versus work, and like leisure is what you want and work is what you have to do, and you know, kind of sucks, but you do it because you have to pay the bills. And one of the things that we try to capture in the barn raising is that work is actually, I enjoy work much more than leisure. You know, sitting on the beach, like getting sand in my feet or whatever, like, yeah, so what, you know? But building a radio station with a campesino organization, I mean, that's amazing, you know? And it's really thrilling. And we try to, like, recapture that in that there is another way of doing work that's self-directed, that is empowering for people, and that people, without necessarily having bosses per se. I mean, certainly people take leadership roles, but without bosses, people like to work. People like to do hard work that's rewarding, that they believe in.
People came from all over the country to take part in the radio barn raising. KBOO is the closest full-power community station to Woodburn, and they sent a large contingency down for the event. Here's KBOO programmer and board member, Cherie Blackfeather.
I think it's good for people who come from a very established community radio station to get that whole energy rush of what it's like to start from the beginning. And it is very exciting. You know, we complain about our radio station, things don't work right, this, that, and the other thing, and it's kind of fun to start from the ground up, you know, with some folks that are very excited to, you know, start a radio station, and the energy's really high, and it's a reminder of why we're doing it, you know? It's like, because you can just take it for granted, oh yeah, KBOO, you know, but really, we're part of a global movement for people's access to the airwaves. And I think being at these smaller grassroots, you know, events is a great reminder of what it's all about.
In addition to numerous airport runs and one emergency tofu procurement mission, KBOO volunteer coordinator Ani Haynes made sure people had a place to relax and take a break.
It's important to like take care of yourself even as you're having fun and doing good work, because, you know, otherwise you get cranky and less effective. So we're here to make sure people take care of themselves.
Hundreds of people turned out for the barn raising. More than expected, in fact. Pekun still managed to house and feed everyone, but it took a lot of work and cooperation. The Union Hall kitchen was the beating heart of this community organizing effort.
I'm Laurie Ciordi. I work for Farm Workers Housing Development Corporation, and I'm the president of Voz Hispana, and I'm the coordinator for today's barn raising.
So what does it take to make food for all these people?
A lot of guts. I'm cutting the heart of the pineapple so I can blend it and put it in the agua de piña that we're making for this evening.
The kitchen crew turned out amazing food three times a day, often improvising when the right ingredients weren't available. Much like the building and learning parts of the project, people worked with what they had and made something better than they thought possible. And they seemed to have a good time doing it.
It's a bit hectic at this point. This is the point where everyone gets a bit nervous and everyone's running around, but I'm sure it'll all come together. It always does.
That's Josh Marcus, who was working at the transmitter site out by Woodburn's water tower.
I'm pretty much a computer geek in the service of community radio. So I've been testing and setting up the little computer devices we're going to use to encode the analog audio signal to digital, just like a web stream you might play on your computer. We are building the studio to transmitter link. We are using commercial wireless internet to broadcast the audio signal from the studio over here to the water tower. Right now, we have set up an antenna on the studio, and now we are trying to build a mast to mount an antenna here on this little shack near the water tower. So there's going to be an antenna on top of the shack that will receive the wireless internet, just like your wireless internet at home. And then the digital internet signal will travel down into the shack where the decoder will be, which will send the audio right to the transmitter. The transmitter is in this little building, this little shack here, and then the RF signal from the transmitter will go all the way up the water tower to the antenna on the top.
Whether they were wiring the transmitter, building the studio, or creating recorded pieces, everyone was diligently working towards the first ceremonial broadcast at 6 p.m. on Sunday. People began gathering under the main tent as dancers and drummers performed the traditional indigenous ceremony. Adrian made sure we all knew how to count down from 20 in Spanish.
And I want you to understand, we're going to count 20 seconds, and then after the 20 seconds is up, we have to do a little synchronization with the people over there. So what I would like to happen is for everyone to say Si se puede. Si. Hold on. All right. Well, yeah, we like that one. So you're going to say si se puede, si se puede, si se puede three times, and then ya se pudo, and ya se pudo three times. All right, and that's gonna be the very first thing, and then after that, I'm gonna hand the mic to Ramon Ramirez, which is the president of PECUN, and then we continue on from there. How's that? You like that one, or we should change it? How's that? Okay, so when it comes to closer to the time, we'll talk about. I'll let you know. We'll call the countdown together, and just wait for it. Okay.
Finally, we heard something coming through the speakers. KPCN Low Power was officially born on August 19th, and they expect to begin regular broadcasting sometime in November.
It is such a great tool. I mean, can you imagine how many people we're going to reach that we couldn't reach before?
So this is a way of building power, right? You know, these are permanent institutions of social change. Permanent.
You've been listening to DIY Portland. I'm Julie Sabatier. Thanks for joining me. This show is on the third Thursday of every month here on KBOO. Podcasts and downloads are available at www.myspace.com/JulieOnTheRadio. If you want to find out more about PECUN and KPCN, you can visit www.pcun.org. And if you'd like to find out more about the Prometheus Radio Project, you can visit them at www.prometheusradio.org. Thanks for listening, and tune in next month for a DIY Portland special about the larger world of grassroots radio. We'll hear from radio activists from all over the U.S., and there will also be an opportunity for you to become a member of your community radio station, KBOO. That's DIY Portland, October 19th. Tune in to learn more about this amazing medium and how you can get involved.